Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Ian Ozan. Great week of work, but you're not done yet. No, sir. High school football fans, get ready for week four of the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. You can join the aforementioned Ian Ozan, my former schoolmate, Coach Lou Valden, tonight, every Friday night at 7 for the most comprehensive high school football show in America. Tonight, you're broadcasting live from where? That opens up Catholic League play, although Catholic League is a misnomer because it But back in the day, Chalmette used to be in the Catholic League, too. Plus, they'll have prep reporters stationed at key games throughout the metro and epic battles in southeast Louisiana, including Mandeville at Slidell, Brother Martin at Jesuit, LaRonger at Kentwood, Covington at North Shore. Get ready for Friday Night Lights, Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, presented by Acadian Companies and Dr. Pepper, tonight from 7 till 10:30, only on WWLE, and I'm going to be listening. Don't let me down. All right, from one Ian to another, from Ian Ozan to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian?
Oh, Tommy, great to be back.
Yes, sir. We missed you last week.
Yeah, last time this week, we couldn't talk because I was flying in an airplane across the sea. I tried and tried to get the pilot to tune us in somehow, mm-hmm. but...
You travel a lot. Are you trying to flee indictment or something? Or what's going on?
Well, we all have our ways of getting through a New Orleans summer,
yeah,
don't we?
I'm telling you. I thought maybe you might be a member of Mayor Cantrell's Travel Club or something. Anyway, where you been eating, where you been drinking, what you been up to?
That's too rich for my blood, Tommy.
There you go.
I pay my way. I had the experience of returning from a long vacation, and it was great. I was overseas. It was very different. It was amazing. Had all kinds of adventures, mostly of the food-related variety. But at the end of it, I had that good feeling that I usually get. I'm like, okay, that was a great time, and I'm coming home mm-hmm. to New Orleans. You know, like, we all go on these vacations, maybe, and get this possibility for a little bit of blues at the end of it. You know, you count the days and it goes by so fast, but then, like, you know, coming back to late September in New Orleans with all the good stuff ahead.
Do you want to hear something weird? That's why I don't go on vacation.
Is that it?
Because I hate for it to end and I hate going through that. So for me, it's easier just to stay at work. What does that say about me?
I don't want to read too much into that, Tommy, but right. you're dedicated to your community and your job.
I am. That's what it says about me. Continue on, please, Ian.
So I had that experience of coming home and being, like, very grateful to be back home again and for all the stuff that's open to us here. And so what did I do? I mean, the first meal had to be something extremely Louisiana, mm-hmm. very sort of, a homecoming type of meal. And so I beat a pass to Gabrielle Restaurant on Orleans Avenue.
Right, and what did you have?
A lot of people will remember this place, Tommy, those with long memories, as for its long run on Esplanade Avenue up by City Park mm-hmm. or by Terra Nova's, by Cafe Degas, that cluster of restaurants over there. If you haven't been to the newer location, I say newer, it's been around for, open there for almost a decade now. This is the same family, Chef Greg, now his daughter, Gabrielle, who was the namesake of the restaurant in the old days, now running the place in front. It's serving a lot of the same dishes that they did back in the day. I mean, this is a kind of a time warp restaurant, but in a way that a lot of the great New Orleans, Louisiana food can feel timeless. It doesn't feel outdated. It just feels like correct, right, and not bowing to trends or styles or anything else. So this is, you know, Bob Dylan had that album Blonde on Blonde. This is a classic example of Louisiana cooking. It's brown on brown. Mm. You know, in the Instagram age, it simply does not present all that well because it's roux covered with gravy, steeped in sauce, but it rings with flavor.
It tastes good, doesn't it? It might not photograph well, but it tastes good.
Yep. So, of course, it was gumbo. I mean, I've been out of Louisiana for 10 days. I'm coming back. I'm getting gumbo. I mean, that's just, as they say in math class, a given. I'm getting the barbecue shrimp pie, which is one of their creations there. It's been on the menu for decades, which, again, think barbecue shrimp, that sauce, nothing to do with barbecue whatsoever, but brown, peppery, buttery, smothering these big fat shrimp over a crisp pie crust with like a sweet potato filling. Just fantastic.
It's Preach it, brother. Preach it.
Two courses of Thanksgiving on one plate. We're off to the races after that. You know, a Sazerac, of course, to start things off, what I call a welcome back Sazerac. Peppermint patty dessert at the end. What did we have in the middle there? I guess we had the fish. We had the duck, excuse me. not fish, but fowl. Another dish that's been on their menu forever, done with a little, it's Louisiana hunting camp food, but done by a chef. And it just made me really glad to be back home again and surrounded by New Orleans people and back in the mix. And, you should try this sometime, Tommy. You really should. Get your head up over the levees, out of the southeast Louisiana area.
I'm afraid of heights, so I don't know about that. What did you just say? Hunting camp food. How did you say that? I think that was excellently put.
Oh, as if prepared by a chef.
As prepared by a chef. That pretty well describes Louisiana cuisine, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, some of the best of it, absolutely. And actually, that's a good segue. Today, this is a place that you and I talked about in preview a little bit, but the new Riverfront restaurant down on Spanish Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. John Besh's place?
That's right. Yeah. Delacroix. They opened this week. I haven't been since I did a walkthrough earlier just to get a feel for the place, but they're doing a grand opening, sort of blessing of the fleet type of thing today. And they are they're up and running. It's John Besh is the guy, the head of the company, of course. The chef there herself is named Wiley Lewis, who's been with their company for a long time, taken a big step up with this one, and is someone I love it when you see this. She's someone who's from Louisiana, and I think she grew up in North Louisiana, but spent a lot of family time down in Southwest Louisiana in particular. And you talk to Louisiana people, they can get very I would say balkanized, but in a good way. You know, like your swamp Cajun is different from your bayou Cajun, your prairie Cajun kind of thing. So that's a corner, to the southwest of Lafayette by duck hunting country over there, Kaplan, that kind of thing. Where if you stop at a gas station, in addition to the boudin, they have things called pistolets, which are just these little rolls filled with, like a shrimp etouffee kind of thing, whatever they're stuffing it with, these little stuffed flavor bombs. And Chef Wiley just incorporated that onto the menu, had I think Leidenheimer bread for the folks who made up the roll for them, the pistolets. And it's just these little things that are like markers of place that are being worked into modern, upscale casual, but definitely upscale restaurant menu that you wouldn't really get if you were from somewhere else. So it might need a little translation if you're coming to visit. And there's going to be a lot of visitors. Believe me, this is like down on the lakefront, next to the casino, the aquarium, the French Quarter, the ferry landing going over to Algiers.
Riverfront.
It's tourist central, but it should also be local central because it owns this commanding view of the river where all the ships come around. You see the crescent that gave the city its nickname. And I think it's great that there's a new restaurant of this caliber, of this ambition anyway, finally open there.
So, is this a reservation place, Ian? Is it somebody texted in about how fancy it is? Do you walk in? Is it tourists? Do they fake the funk? Tell me your theory on it, your feeling on it.
Okay. Now, in fairness, they are just opening the doors, right? But, you can get an impression of a place. It is going to be a magnet for tourists because where it is, and that's fine. I want people visiting New Orleans to have the kind of food that resonates with locals. And I think given this this kitchen and this chef, that's what they'll be doing. And the menu that I've seen looks like it's legit. That said, it's not, it's a brand new restaurant. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say upscale, but it does have nice touches, and it's, nicely designed, and there was an eye given to the style, to the feel of the place. It's not a ramshackle joint that you're finding down around the curve, 6 miles down Four Mile Bayou in Bubba Country. It is, a modern chef-led restaurant on a major piece of real estate on the riverfront in New Orleans. So that's significant. But I think if people remember the restaurant Born, which was also a BRG Besh restaurant in the Hyatt that sadly didn't come back after COVID.
Remember that.
Yeah, restaurant had a menu that I liked that was like very Louisiana. It had hunting camp elements to it for sure, duck poppers, that kind of thing. Some of the vibe of that menu, perhaps, but with a much more like we're taking you down the bayou feel to the decor. There's a pirogue on the wall. There's family photos of the chef when she's a little girl out hunting. There's old vintage Jack's beer cans that they must have found at an estate sale in the back of someone's garage or something that's been polished up. So it looks real nice, but the big thing is the view. I mean, it's basically all windows, a box of windows facing the river. If you ever spend any time on the river, the more I do, the more I want to get back out there, whether it's taking the ferry over to Algiers Point for a little field trip and a pint and a bite, or going upriver, frankly, to another good attraction that's coming into its prime season here in the fall, the Batcher. I think that's a place you and I haven't talked about yet, but that's, go a couple miles upriver from Delacroix, the restaurant we were just talking about, and you go past Audubon Park, past the Fly, and a part of the Batcher, right, the wet side of the levee, that was an industrial yard for an oil field service company, mm-hmm. is now a cluster of various things, a couple offices.
And where is this in?
This is if you know where Audubon Park is in the Fly, it's the next address upriver from that.
Okay.
I think the address is something like 25 Walnut Street, something you've never heard of, but it's over the levee. You do not see this from Magazine Street, from Leake Avenue there. If you know where the Uptown Square is, mm-hmm. the Army Corps Engineers headquarters, where you dropped off your...
I didn't know there was anything over there.
Yeah, well, there wasn't. I mean, it was just this industrial yard, mm-hmm. where they kept gear that was going offshore, because it's the Batcher. It's the site that takes water. The developers of it have figured out a way to turn it into a social, recreational space where you can go out, kids can run around, and there's a variety of food trucks and pop-ups and semi-permanent kind of lean-to restaurants, I'd call them, little booths and stands.
A Batcher, so you would wonder how permanent they could be unless they built it up, right?
They got to be able to pull up stakes,
And this
is also the home now for the Tuesday Crescent City Farmers Market, which is a delight. Mm-hmm. So you can go out there on a Tuesday morning, shop, get a coffee, get a breakfast burrito, just take in the scene. And if you go back on the weekends, I believe they're doing a Friday through Sunday situation now, you'll find these food booths and stands and such open. There's a bar, of course, but it's big, wide open space right on the river. So I'm a fan of these projects that are reconnecting New Orleans with its riverfront, basically. And it's not just it's a scenic view, but also if you're like me, your idea of a scenic view can definitely include a 20,000 ton tanker plowing up the river with its antennas dangling and its radar twirling and horns blowing and tugboats tugging around. And, it's just the majesty of the area that we live. And these places frame it up nicely, and you can get some street food and a drink while you watch the show. I'm here for it.
Somebody texted in as you were mentioning gorgeous river views, and I remember this. My mom used to love to go to the Hilton Jazz Brunch. I think she liked the brunch more, jazz more than the food. Tim Laughlin used to play there, and they had this tremendous panoramic view of the river. Whatever happened to that? They still do that or not?
No, sadly. I mean, there was that era of the rooftop hotel lounges, and the king of that, the peak, really the crown, was the top of the mart at the World Trade Center building, which is now the Four Seasons Hotel. So that's certainly had a living its best life in a way, but it no longer has that revolving Catholic lounge that was so magnificent. I think it was, I don't know, Tommy. I think maybe it was a sign of the era. I know, I think a lot of these things were developed in the 70s and 80s, sort of age of the future kind of thing. And, I mean, they don't have to all spin. The one that you're describing wasn't, unless you had a lot of mimosas. I mean, you could do some self-imposed spin.
Yeah. You know what else I used to do on Saturday nights, now that I think of it? My dad used to love this. They had an Italian buffet. And again, you know, it's a buffet and it's a hotel. I get all of that. I'm not trying to demean anybody. But they had college students running around singing Italian songs. Do you remember that or not? Or were you ever, did you ever take part in any of that?
That's before my time. Okay. But it sounds charming.
It was. Charming. It was charming.
That reminds me a bit of Cafe Giovanni, if we're talking about restaurants that ain't there no more, unfortunately. Chef Duke's great Italian restaurant in Decatur Street in the French Quarter, where you'd be somewhere between your lasagna and your burrata, and the people would break out in song. You know, it sounds like something that's staged as a social media prank now, but it was the real deal.
What do you call it? A flash mob? Is there any Italian place right now that does that you know of, where they have strolling singers?
Not that I know of. Again, unless it's something that truly is spontaneous and just happens, or the Tulane University Glee Club is out for.
Well, you and me start one. Let's go to Venetia's tonight and just start singing and see what happens. 9:24, we'll take a break. It's Table Talk with Ian McNulty. More when we come back. You got any questions or comments about where to eat or drink? 504-260-1870. Oakland Jeweler Talk and text line. I'll pass them along when we come back. No texting and driving. Back in a flash. WWL. It is more than tons of fun when Ian McNulty is with us. It is megatons of fun. He covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. We call it Table Talk, and we're discussing places to eat and drink. Ian, let me get to the questions now, if we can. Somebody's looking for a steakhouse in Lakeview.
Easy. The Steak Knife. This is one of my favorite places in New Orleans, actually, for a steak. And for a hang, it's been around for more than 50 years, which is kind of shocking to say out loud. Not because it feels like it's been there for a long time. It has been there for a long time, but it doesn't have that veneer of like a really old New Orleans restaurant, right? It's, I guess it's been, had a few renovations through the day, but it's sort of a modern classic. The bar, it's a big long bar, which, you know, through the day can feel like, you know, it's people coming in from the City Park golf courses, and then it's like kind of the social hub of Lakeview, and there's always a little bit of intrigue happening somewhere around the corner of the bar. But the staff there, they make a great martini. The wedge salad is fantastic. This little thing called the tidbit you should get beforehand. It's like just bread and cheese and seasoning. It looks like something that you whipped up because company came over without telling you, and this is all you had in the fridge, but it turns out to be a house classic. It's just delicious. And then the steaks. I mean, they just cook them right. It's nothing too fancy. It's in the age of, you know, $200 flaming.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomahawk, you know, the hatchet stuck in it, kind of expense account show steaks. Mm-hmm. This is just a straight up New Orleans steakhouse with a lot of New Orleans characters in between. And take a look at the walls too. You know, if those walls could talk, they'd probably start singing like Louis Prima. It's a really fun, interesting place. And I'm never disappointed, and I'm usually much happier about life when I leave there.
I don't know if you can hear it or not, but I'm raising an eyebrow. Intrigue, you say?
Yeah, a little intrigue here or there, you know. I love sitting at the bar at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You get all the dirt, right?
I love intrigue.
Yeah, it could be stuff going on between the staff at some restaurants. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, someone's ex is across the bar. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, hey, I lived a life. I'm not immune to the stuff. I'm sure people chat about me at the bar sometimes. But it's not just the steaks that are juicy at the bar at the Steak Knack, my friend.
Let's talk. Somebody texted in about, have you heard anything about the Boil and Barrel in Lakeview? What is that?
Wow, we're in the same parking lot here, because that is right next door to the Steak Knife. I'll take you through the whole block here.
You're parking on the neutral ground, though, aren't you, or not?
Yeah, you are, right between there. Yeah, you got Parlays on one end of the block, which, much like the Steak Knife Bar, you know, that's a bar that transforms. This is a drinking bar, not a dining bar, but it's, you know, you got people coming in after golf. You got people coming in after rugby, because it's fall now in City Park. Lots of rugby games happening there. Hey, guys. And then you got, you know, it turns into like more of a late night kind of younger scene. That's Parlays. And you go and buy, there's New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, which is good at, guess what? Hamburgers and seafood. Mm-hmm. You got Reginelli's, kind of the neighborhood pizzeria with big pitchers of beer and Detroit style pies. Then you got the Steak Knife. Then you're done with that block. And the next thing is Boil and Barrel. And in New Orleans, it's like, you know, you give people directions about what used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Describe a restaurant by what it used to be, but maybe not what it immediately used to be, but what it was two or three iterations ago. So let's go. That was Mondo, Susan Spicer's neighborhood restaurant, for the longest stretch in recent memory, then briefly LJ's, and then most recently Outpost 45. But now it's Boil and Barrel. Same address, same kind of layout, much different place. If you've heard anything about Boil and Barrel, it's run by the same people who have Frankie and Johnny's way uptown, the famous boiled seafood place. So that accounts for the boil part of it. But I asked them, like, hey, is this going to be Frankie and Johnny's part two? They said, no, we want to do something different. It's a different concept. The other part of it, boil, is the boiled seafood. Barrel refers to the whiskey barrels that inspire the bar. So this is definitely a bourbon bar. One of the guys who runs it, Tarek Tay, he's behind Biblos and such. He's a bourbon fanatic, turns out. And this has a bourbon bar. We talked about brown on brown at Gabrielle for the roux and the gravy and all that. This is definitely a brown on brown situation of the rye and the bourbons and how you get them neat or in an old fashioned. And it's terrific. And it's another good cocktail spot in Lakeview, kind of the bookend to the backyard, another good bourbon spot. They actually barrel their own bourbon down on West Harrison. But at Boil and Barrel, the new place we're talking about, boy, if you had B on your bingo card, you were doing great with this company.
Have you ever barreled your own bourbon?
No, I've not. Unbarreled it, that's for dang sure.
Somebody wants to know about Korean fried chicken, and the text says simply, what's the deal with Korean fried chicken? So I'll ask you, what's the deal with Korean fried chicken?
Here's the deal. Crunch, man, crunch. If I wish I could snap something in half for you as sound effects over here. It is extra crunchy, and it's the sauces. They're not necessarily ridiculously hot, but they are flavorful. They're earthy. There's this Korean red pepper that I'm going to mispronounce as gugujeon, something like along these lines. You know, don't be afraid to mispronounce things when you're ordering them. You're missing out on a world of flavor if you get stuck on pronunciation. Ask my French teacher.
Just point at the menu is all you got to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So the place I love this. Korean fried chicken right now, which is a great introduction to it. It's called Chi-Chi's. It's uptown on Ferret Street, and it's part of that whole restaurant row there. It opened about a year ago. A lot of people know the chef, Adolfo Garcia. He's got La Boca. He's had a ton of restaurants through the years. This is his son, also named Adolfo, and his new bride, who comes to us from the Russell's Marina Grill family. So local restaurant family, next generation. They went away to New York. They fell in love with Korean fried chicken, which is much more prevalent in New York than in New Orleans, and thought, we're coming home. We're going to bring something that we love with us. So it's Korean fried chicken, not exclusively. You know, it's wings. It's chicken sandwiches done that way. But also there's some sushi. There's like these fun sandwiches they make out of sushi rice and raw fish. There's towers of beer. It's got a definitely a young vibe. It's like a beer drinking, chicken eating, fun, small hole in the wall that's got a lot of energy on Frette Street. Great place to check out. But to answer the question, the deal with Korean fried chicken, it's double fried. It's really extra crispy. And you do get this solid wall of crunch before the juiciness of the chicken. Hopefully the juiciness of the chicken if done right. And then it's the seasonings on top of it. That bright red, sometimes let's call it Korean barbecue sauce, Korean hot sauce, whatever. But it's a earthy, sometimes kind of funky, peppery sauce. But don't worry, it's not thermonuclear hot. It's just very flavorful.
And before we wrap it up, since the Saints are playing Buffalo this weekend, somebody wanted to know where's the best place or some recommendations to get some good wings in the city.
You know what? We just talked about the great wings at Chi-Chi's. I'm a sucker for, like, kind of trash wings, too, though. I say this with affection. Like, in the way you describe a bar as a dive bar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have just fewer places that I'm happier than when there's football on. There's a scent of fall in the air. I'm sat at Fat Harry's on St. Charles Avenue. The streetcars are rumbling by. The doors are open. There's a mix of like college kids and like people their grandparents' age who just live around the corner coming together for cold beer and a filthy, messy basket of buttery buffalo wings. They're small. You can put away 20 of them. Your hands and your face are covered with this spicy butter, and you order another beer and you're happy. And you know, we're all rooting for the Saints. We want them to do well, but we all have a second team, right, that hopefully we're rooting for or like have a rooting interest in to get us through the season. And you know, you stick around for the next game or the next play or the next quarter, and then you get on with your great New Orleans weekend. So that's the one that snaps into my head. It's just football, a stack of small, buttery, tasty, indulgent chicken wings, and a perch there at Fat Harry's, and another beer. And great people watching while you're watching football too.
Fried or naked wings? How do they make them?
Fried, definitely fried.
Fried, coated in. Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always, my friend. You can find out everything you need to know about Ian McNulty by Googling,
and more than you want to know sometimes.
Yeah, by Googling what?
Oh, Ian McNulty.
Ian McNulty, there you go. He found everything you need to know. Thank you, Ian. A pleasure as always. Another exciting, enjoyable, fun edition of Table Talk. Ian McNulty covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. We'll take a break. Come back, talk to JR with Taking Vegas. Look at some weekend winners. Right now, we pause for traffic on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.